You're listening to Around Comics at the Cherry Capital Con. Comics, finally, maybe. It's Sal. I am here at the Cherry Capital Con by myself. Chris and Tom are no longer on the show. I've kicked them off. No, they're just really busy. I know it's been a while since we put out an episode. It's been a couple of months now. Everybody's schedule is just so crazy and busy and doing different things that it's just been really difficult for us to get together and do shows. So thank you for your patience. We're trying to fix that and trying to get stuff out, and we may be working on some other things like, you know, me doing some stuff with some other people and that kind of thing. I don't know. We'll see. But hopefully we'll have more stuff for you guys really soon, and thank you for listening as always. But anyway, today what I'd like to talk about a little bit is the Cherry Capital Con. I'm here in Traverse City, Michigan at the Cherry Capital Convention, Comic Book Convention at the Grand Traverse Resort and Casino. It's a great little show. They invited me up this year to come and be here and record some podcasts, and I'm moderating some episodes, and I also have a table here with my stuff for sale. And so far, today's the first day of the show, and it's just been absolutely fantastic. The guys up here put on just a fantastic little show, and if you have a chance to come up to Traverse City for it, it's well worth the ride. In Upper Michigan here, this time of year is so beautiful, and the weather's fantastic, and it's a great area. We're actually going to stay a few extra days here just to hang out and see some in Traverse City because it's such a great little town. But the show itself has been fantastic, and I'm sitting here with Tony Moore's here, and Ryan Stegman, and Steve Dillon, and Daniel Way, and some other guys, Ryan Lee, sitting across from me, and we're all right now just sitting in Artist Alley, and it's the first day of the show, and things are really going well so far. Crowds are busy, and it's a cool little show. So I will have more stuff for you guys today. I'll be recording with some different people. Hopefully get some guests on, and we'll do some talking about what's going on in comics. But once again, I want to say thanks a lot for you guys always listening to us and sticking around. And I know it's been a little bit of a pain in the butt with our schedule and everything, but hopefully we'll be fixing that pretty soon. So thanks, and I'll be back. She is half your age, but I'm guessing that's the reason that you stay. All right, I'm back. It's Sal again. I'm at the Cherry Capital Con live on the floor, and I am joined by Marvel writer Daniel Way. Daniel.
Hello.
How you doing, man? It's nice to meet you.
It's nice to meet you, too.
Yeah, we've never actually met before. I'm a big fan of your work. I got to kiss up a little bit, right? You've been a Marvel writer for how long now? I mean, it's been
about 12 years.
12 years, right? Yeah, okay. And you've done just about everything there. I mean, Deadpool and Wolverine and Bullseye.
I haven't done Daredevil, and I haven't done Iron Man. I'm still waiting
for those.
Oh, yeah.
Those are the ones you're looking for still? Is this the first time you've been at this con?
I've been here every year.
Every year?
Every year.
It's my first time here.
They can't find a better writer. So.
Are you a Michigan guy?
I actually grew up in Michigan.
Oh, okay.
Well, in West Branch, which is like a bit south of here.
Okay.
Yeah. But
it's a great little show. This is my first time.
I love the show.
And it's
I don't know. It's very laid back and cool, and it's all about comic books.
Yeah. This is the kind of show I grew up going to, you know, hotel shows. And, you know, it was always cool to come to a show like this and you'd run into a big-name creator, like, you know, that you didn't know that was going to be there or something like that.
Right, yeah.
And rarely, you know, this show has more bigger names than a lot of the ones I would go to. But I remember, like... Joe, who was it? Who did I run into at a small, little, tiny hotel show? Joe Ostrander was there.
John Ostrander.
God, I couldn't remember his name. And that was just when I was like 17 or something.
Yeah.
And just big thrill then. But yeah, it's a cool, really, really cool show. It's pretty busy. I'm amazed, and they just treat you great. I mean, I imagine they've been treating me fantastic.
Yeah,
so.
No, it's really cool. At some shows, it seems like the bigger a show gets, the more you're kind of hustled here and there. And,
right.
You know, as a guest, it's kind of tough to relax, and you really do feel like you're on the clock.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not like that here. They treat you incredibly well, and you also have you know, time to actually meet with fans and talk to them.
Right.
In my opinion, I've always. It seems like I get a lot more. I mean, you know, as a creator, you go out there and you got to kind of market yourself
and what you're working on. Yeah.
And at really huge shows, it seems like you're kind of preaching to the choir because they're already big fans.
Sold. They're already sold.
If they weren't, they wouldn't have put up all the money it costs to go to those big shows. So when to do smaller regional shows, it's definitely you're out there stumping. It's way pound for pound. It's a lot more effective,
right?
To get your name out there, get your work out there.
Trying to meet an audience that maybe hasn't already found your work or know.
I mean, you know, I've met plenty of people who are fans already, but you know, you just get a chance to, even if you just end up kind of talking to them like away from comics,
right?
Because there's, you know, a show like this, you know, I bump into people all the time and just get in different conversations, and then they just kind of find your work, you know. That guy seemed all right. I'm gonna give his book a shot.
That is definitely one of the things. The big shows, they're more intimidating, I think, for fans, and they're so spread out, you're not sure necessarily even what's going on. But as someone, you know, I mean, some of them are so immense, and you just, you know, like you said, you're hustled as a guest. You're hustled from one place to the next, and you know, this signing's going on, this panel's going, this, you know.
They pick you up at the airport, and they're like, all right, we're going to stop by the hotel, and you can drop your stuff off. And I already know that it's going to be painful. That's the first thing I hear. It's like, because then we're going to go do this, and we're going to, and it's like,
right.
You know, kind of just want to.
Chill a little.
Been on a plane all day, right? You know?
Like to relax a little bit.
Yeah.
So, what's going on with you at Marvel now? What are you working on?
Still on Deadpool.
Still on Deadpool,
this
right?
This is the big Dead arc, which
I'm really
happy about. You know, it's got a lot of really positive feedback on it. And Ali Garza on the book now, and that's great. You know, Ali's
sure.
an incredible artist. And got a couple other things that are you know, in the pipeline. Unfortunately, I can't really talk
about them.
I'm used to it. Yeah, but
I'm
looking forward to it. I got some pretty exciting stuff coming up.
Well, you know, the thing I enjoy about your Deadpool, and I can't say I read it all the time. I did read it for a while, and now I'm more of a trade waiter, you know. So you and me both. But man, you do such a great job of writing that character. He's such a strange character. He's hilarious, and you write him, you know, incredibly funny.
Thanks. I try not to focus too much on the funny stuff because that's really, really hard. You know,
sure.
Writing, you never know what's going to be funny and what isn't. Mostly, I just try to write it as an action book, you know, and then just have the comedy be situational.
Sure, sure.
And of course, with Deadpool, I can definitely go a lot more outside the box and kind of, you know, take it to the extremes.
Absolutely. And the thing, I mean, I'm sure you've heard it before, but the whole sort of his inner monologue.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That, having its own personality. Is that something that you sort of, I mean, do you just kind of wing that, or do you have a specific...
Just kind of wing it. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't want to overthink a lot of this stuff. I just kind of go with my gut. And if it just try to make it funny or exciting to me, because I'm a fan of comic books. I'm like, I am the audience.
Right.
I just look at it like, would I read that or would I enjoy that?
Yeah.
Just try to stick with that.
That's probably the best thing, man. I mean, because if you try and guess what an audience is going to like,
you're going to guess wrong.
Yeah. So just, do what you think is good.
And, yeah. And the other thing is, if you try to, if you're trying to tailor it, for a specific audience, you're doomed for failure.
Yeah. That's
you can't couch these things. People are going to find. They're going to find what they like, and they're going to notice what they don't like, and there's nothing you can do about it.
You're going to find an audience too. I mean, it's like trying to reach someone, like you said, specifically. It's like hitting a bullseye with your eyes closed.
Marvel. If they had like some secret formula, if it's a surefire way of making something a hit, they do it every time.
Sure, sure.
Even like a character like Wolverine. That was like the villain of the week in a Hulk book.
Right.
No one knew that was going to be.
All
huge.
Of a sudden, became enormous.
If they knew that, they wouldn't have given him cat whiskers. Notice they went back and got rid of those.
Yeah, they did. They ended up getting rid of them. They did go back to the blue and yellow costume, though.
Yeah.
He kind of floats in and out of that, but yeah, no, you're right, and I think that's as a comic book fan, and being online, for the last 7-8 years, where talking about comics and dealing with other fans and hearing what fans talk about, it's like I think that's one of the biggest misconceptions is of fans is like thinking that everything that happens in comics is this mastermind,
thousands of hours of research has led us to believe that we're going to do this.
Exactly. No. Yeah. It's sometimes just, hey, somebody has an idea. Let's try it and see.
Yeah.
See
sounds cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be a good story. That's going to look good on paper.
So, how did you get into writing comics? What was your sort of beginning in it?
Well, I had a buddy of mine, was a manager of a comic book store. I was living on the coast of North Carolina at the time. And I wasn't really reading comics. I was in my early 20s or something. Mm-hmm. And I'd always wanted to, it was a dream of mine to work as a writer. But because I was, working a full-time job, it's often difficult for me to find the time to sit down and work on that novel,
Sure, sure.
And I mentioned that to this fellow one time. He's like, well, why don't you try writing a comic book? Those are only like 22, 24 pages. And, I was familiar with comic books, from when I, as a kid. And at first I was like, well, no, I wouldn't want to do that because all I knew about comics is that they were just superhero comics.
Right.
It's like, I'm not really into that. And he's like, well, there are different kinds of comics. And I was like, what?
Really?
Yeah. And he brought me like a whole bunch of these comics to read. One of them was, Steve Dillon and Garth Ennis had just, come out of Hellblazer.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And so I guess I wasn't in my mid-20s. It was earlier than that. But that decade kind of.
Right around that
era. Yeah, yeah. Kind of hard to remember at times. But I was reading it, and a lot of those books were similar or in the vein or a lot of times better than, like, the films and the novels that I was reading that I was enjoying. And I was like, do you have any more like this? And he's like, yeah, I got thousands more like that. Yeah. And that was when it dawned on me that comics were a medium as opposed to a genre.
Right.
And at the same time, and it's really what you see now, like the level of writing on superhero comics is just unprecedented. I mean, it's extremely literary, extremely great. These stories are legit stories. And yeah, they feature these superhero characters, but that's not all they are.
Right.
And and especially, you know, I came in when I started working for Marvel. I pretty much worked exclusively with Axel Alonso the whole time. And Axel's, you know, he's a big story guy, and you know, to be able to tell different kinds of stories and using these
characters,
four color
right,
heroes,
right.
You know, it never occurred to me that, you know, from the outset when I first got started that it would even be allowed. You know?
Well, I think that's that's, you know, one of those misconceptions. People that aren't regular comic readers mm-hmm. are just, you know, they have a preconceived notion of what comics are, and a lot of time it's you know, from their childhood or you know, just sort of
the Electric Company.
Spider-Man
throws
right.
a web on you.
Yeah. Yeah, and not realizing that there's a comic for everybody. A type of film, there's a comic that does it as well, if not better.
Like, Ed Brubaker's Captain America is a great example. I mean, that is a super tight espionage thriller,
yeah.
You know, and you know, one of the best that I've read in a long time.
Absolutely, yeah. No.
And it's you know, I always you come across, you know, lapsed comic book fans, and you're like, you might want to check it out now, you know.
There's so many. I think there's more good comics being produced today.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's just more comics, so you're going to have clunkers, too, and you're going to have more, you know, stuff that doesn't appeal to you necessarily. But, you know, and I had to go through that as a comic book fan of, like, well, I don't have to read everything that comes out, or, you know, I don't have to read, you know, X, Y, and Z books. I just need to find the stuff that I enjoy, and it's there. You know what I mean? There's plenty.
Yeah, the happiest fans are the ones who only buy books that they enjoy.
They actually like.
And they're not compelled to buy.
But there's a weird, you know, growing up a comic fan, there is that weird, you know, collective mentality.
Yeah, there is,
you know,
that.
Collector
it's
mentality.
Still out there. It'll always be out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
But they're, you know, it's not just two different types of fans, but that's two very different types of fans. You have people, you know, to some people it's a hobby and it's about collectibles,
right?
You know, just like stamps or coins or whatever. And then there's, you know, the other people who are it's entertainment for them, and they, you know, they consume it as entertainment. They don't immediately, you know, buy two copies and bag one. And but God bless those people for doing that.
Hey,
you know?
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
I enjoy getting my rent paid. But you mentioned something about there being, you know, a lot more comics. What I noticed, you know, I've been doing this a while, is that, especially at conventions, it seemed like there were more, you know, mainstream comics, DC, Marvel, and at this point, you know, Image, Dark Horse. But it seemed to me that there was a lot less independent books. And then it dawned on me is that, while there probably are, it's because I think that the bigger companies, you know, DC and Marvel, they're bringing talent in
From the independent,
from that
independent
pool, and they're not bringing them in to just crank out just stock superhero stuff. They're bringing them in to do what they do, you know.
If you go back and look at when we started this show, you know, 6-7 years ago, and the guys that we had on early on, the guys that, you know, were up and coming guys, and it was, you know, Matt Fraction,
Matt was around for forever.
Yeah, he had, you know, Five Fists of Science and then Casanova and stuff like that. But, you know, even Bendis, you know, obviously he came from Torso and all the stuff that he had done on his own. And then, you know, Hickman and Brubaker. You know, Brubaker was an indie. I mean, he was as indie as you got. You know what I mean? Like, he was. What is that?
Picture of my Manly did a sketch of me and my dog Tilly.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice.
I don't know if we're going to describe that necessarily fully, but the
oh, there's another one too. You definitely don't want to describe this. What I was going to mention, but I think it was the first comic book convention I went to was Heroes Con in Charlotte, which is another great, like, very comic centric.
I've heard that. I haven't been there.
Oh, you should go. I haven't been there. I haven't been back there in years. But I went there, and Bendis was there, and this was I don't know, 97, 98. Anyway, he had just brought his comics, his books over to Image from they were originally published at Caliber.
Okay,
sure. Right here in Michigan, actually, in Plymouth. And so he was just sitting there, and he was sitting next to Dan Brereton, and there was nobody was talking to Brian. He's just sitting there, and I ended up chatting with him, and I was working on trying to put together my own comic. And we just sat there and rapped, and he had like a ton of helpful advice, even about like the mechanics of self-publishing, like printers that he recommended.
Oh, no kidding.
Like, well, this one was printed by so-and-so,
and
the price was better, but I didn't think the print quality was good, and yeah, it was great.
It is interesting how that, I mean, because you always almost had, you had that separation. You had your indie guys and you had your mainstream guys, and now it's like, it's almost like the indie stuff has become the minor league system for Marvel. You know what I mean?
It's like they bring the farm them up. System,
you put out your own stuff, and that's. I mean, I remember talking with CB Cebulski, he would say that the best way to get noticed is to publish something.
Oh yeah,
put something out.
You're the best business card you can ever hand to someone is a comic.
Because
it shows everything right there. Whether you're a writer or an artist, that the medium, they can see, see your stuff, they can read it, but it also shows that, you understand comics and very importantly that you have what it takes, because this isn't a job. They're not going to call you every morning to make sure you're at work on time. You have to be self-motivated to put a comic book out independently. And it takes a lot of effort, and you got to really have a lot of heart to get it all the way through and get into the end zone.
Yeah, and you're probably working full time part time.
To
be able to do that in your spare time, and
if you can show them that, I mean, because especially when Marvel and DC, they got to get the books out,
right?
They've got this system that needs to be fed, and you can't be messing around with the schedule.
Nothing angers editors more.
Well, you won't. It's the fastest way to find the door out. It's just to not deliver. Or lock up the schedule and
do that.
That's a big no-no. You can get away with a lot, but that one will come back and hit you.
Well, it was really nice talking to you, man. It's really
too,
good,
man,
good to meet you. Is there anything? I mean, you said you're working on stuff. You can't really talk about it, but obviously, Deadpool's is still going strong,
everything's moving along quite nicely. Yeah,
good.
And next time we talk, well, I'll hopefully
have some.
I won't be bound by a stack of NDAs.
Sure.
We can actually talk about some other stuff.
Well, cool, man. Great to meet you. Thanks for being on.
My pleasure.
All right. Now I am with, what's your last name, Doug?
Doug Mead.
Doug Mead. He is the owner of Top Comics here in Traverse City. He's also the ambassador of the Charity Capital Con. And the guy really that is responsible, I think, for getting me here. I mean, you know, for 2 years now you've been at, kind of.
Yeah, every year
me.
When we go down to Chicago, we try to get you to come up. So we're just glad we finally got you up here.
I really appreciate it. I'm having a great time so far, and Traverse City is so beautiful. And it's an awesome little show. It's just so cool. I've had so much fun already, and it's just day one, and you guys take care of us so well, but we can talk about that. But let's talk about, I want to talk about the show itself and how you guys kind of, I mean, I know you're not officially, part of the show, but you're involved with the show, obviously, Mike wanted you to kind of come and talk about it a little bit, so...
Yeah, I mean, certainly, we're up in Traverse City, Michigan. We've had the store open for 25 years now. The con started 4 years ago, and just an idea to kind of bring a convention to a small town. And
how long ago did you guys open Top Comics?
We opened in 1988. The original owner passed away,
okay.
And Mike and I took the store over. So have been going strong.
Was that your shop you were shopping at before that?
Oh, yeah.
Before
I was actually one of the first customers there back when I was like 10 years old. And originally it was Top of the Ninth Comics. They did a lot of sports card stuff.
Okay.
And we slowly managed to talk the owner into getting more comics, and then you know, just phasing out the sports cards entirely.
And,
so.
And now you run the place.
And we run the place.
Business
living the dream.
And then and now now this is 4 years in the process of putting a convention together. Yeah. That's got to be pretty. How did that? How I mean, I know. Chris and I put together
Windy City
Comic Con, and I know what that took us. But run the audience through like what, you know, how that kind of came together. What was the sort of planning on it? And what did you guys?
You know, obviously Mike and Dan Way from Marvel Comics, right? Deadpool used to do Wolverine Origins and everything. Just had an idea of just doing a really small con and getting people together. But the more people we reached out to, we kept getting more and more response. And obviously, having Steve Dillon back again this year is fantastic.
Right.
And Tony Moore and everyone. So, yeah, you know, we'd really try to take care of our guests and do a big con feel in a small environment.
Yeah.
And just, you know.
Did you have any sort of, like, when we were doing Windy City Con, it was sort of the idea was, let's really make it. I mean, because you go to these gigantic conventions, and we've all been, you know, C2E2, and nothing against them. Obviously, they're fun. They're a blast. And you have just, you know, thousands and thousands of people. But. You know, when I was growing up, I would go to a lot of small hotel shows, and you know, I was talking to Dan Way earlier today, and you know, talking about how it was always cool going to those shows, and you'd run into like one guy that you were surprised was there, like you know, maybe he was an older creator or something. I had ran into like John Ostrander at a small hotel show, and it was like, holy cow, it was just you know, kind of crazy that he was there, and that kind of thing. I mean, and so that's what this show kind of reminds me of in some ways. It's different because this is more of an artist alley kind of show that, you know,
yeah,
we creator.
really push creators. And,
yeah.
You know, a lot of our guys here that have, you know, booths set up this year, last year or the year before, were just fans that came in. And it's literally a chance for them to kind of live their dreams and everything, which, of course, we encourage.
Sure.
So it's great. But, yeah, I mean, obviously we really push for small press stuff and, you know, really
the local scene,
stuff,
creating the local. And that's kind of what I felt like. It seemed like you guys, I mean, in Chicago, we're lucky to have a very strong comic scene. I mean, you know, there's tons of creators. There's, you know, dozens of comic shops. There's, you know, it's a pretty strong culturally, you know, comic culture there in Chicago. But up here in Traverse City, I can't imagine there's, you know, there's your shop. And other than that, what, you know, what is there?
It's tough and it's really hard to get creators. I mean, obviously, calling it the Cherry Capital Con, we're all about local business, supporting the local economy.
Right.
But to anyone from Chicago, they don't know what the Cherry Capital Con is. You know, Traverse City's the Cherry Capital of the world. So,
right.
You know, we named it after that. But yeah, and no one knows where Traverse City is either. So, but usually once we get people up here, you know, they really fall in love with the area. And, you know, we try to make it special and try to get them to come back every year. So.
No, it's fantastic, and I would definitely recommend it to any, you know, anybody that's looking for a cool convention and just an awesome area. I mean, I've been up to Door County in Wisconsin, which is sort of it's very similar to this, where it's a small town. It's sort of a kind of a tourist town, but it's like, you know, resort. It's a resort town, you know, up in, you know, the middle of nowhere kind of thing, and. Not that, you know, there's the middle of nowhere, but you know what
we're
I mean.
We're on the way to the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, yeah. but the same kind of thing. But I just really love the what I've seen of the town so far, the city so far is really cool. And like I said, the show itself is just fantastic. You guys do such a nice job. I mean, I can't, you know, my wife and kids are here. My wife is just like, you know, blown away by how awesome you guys have been to me, and I'm, you know, and it's like I'm not even a you know, name. I'm not a draw for this, you know. It's like I can't, you know. It's like these guys. But you talked to, and I've talked to Scotty in the past. You know, he came up here for a couple of times, and you know, Ryan and different guys that have been here, and you know, just how nice you guys are and how well you take care of everybody. So, any creators that are looking for a show to go to, I can't recommend it enough.
I really appreciate the kind words, and you know, it's a huge honor for us to have you up here, and especially me personally. I've been a huge fan of the show for years, and
thanks,
awesome to have you here. We really appreciate you coming. So.
I'm having a blast. It's awesome, and I gotta admit, I mean, this place is busy. I mean, this is a busy show floor right now, and you know, it's just dozens and dozens of people coming through here. It's great. It's awesome. I'm having a good time. Thanks for having me out, man.
Yeah, without a doubt. Well, hopefully we can do it again next year. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I plan on making it a regular as long as you'll have me.
We'll have you, without a doubt. Thanks so much, Brent.
Anything, you know, do you guys, anything else you want to promote or anything you want to, you know, tell people about? Obviously, the website is
CherryCapitalCon.com.
And you guys are on Twitter and Facebook
and
all
Facebook that. And obviously the store is Top Comics and everything over on 8th Street, Traverse City. So,
do you have a website for the Top Comics?
I don't right now. We're in the process of setting up with the guy who did the website for the convention.
Convention.
So.
Okay, cool.
But,
Any idea next year? Do you guys have any? Have you planned out that far ahead? Have you?
We have a tentative date. We haven't signed up for it yet, so we'll have details on the website coming up.
And now, have you always done it here at the Traverse Resort?
Yep. It's been this fourth year in a row. Our dates kind of shift from year to year depending on what the resort has open and what works best for our creators.
Okay.
We're usually in the summer. So.
This is a cool place. This is a nice hotel.
It's
man.
A
this
great
is,
hotel, yeah. And they're really, really good to us and taking really good care of us. Well,
that's
between
good.
That and the casino up
the road there. How's the show going for you guys so far? I mean, as far as
we're doing really good,
really
so
good.
Yeah, it's excellent.
Awesome.
And
awesome.
We kicked off to a 3-day show this year, which we had a Friday preview night, which before we were only Saturday,
right.
Sunday. But even last night, we weren't quite sure, how that would go. But we had quite
a
few
there
people
was,
through.
Yeah, I had come by. We got here a little late, but I had stopped in and hung out with some of the guys and that kind of thing. So, it was cool. We went to the costume contest. That's the other thing. I'm a little surprised. Like, wow, there's a lot of costumes here.
Yeah.
You know, for a small show, it's like there's a lot.
Iron Man over
there's an awesome Iron Man, some Star Wars stuff. And very cool. No, it's great. And like I said, I can't recommend it highly enough for people. So I'll be.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we're never going to be the next C2E2 or anything, but we really try to make it, a little bit of that, but in a contained way.
Right.
And we try to just make it special. And
it's awesome, man.
So.
Yeah, well, good luck on all of it.
I really appreciate it. Thanks so much, Brian.
All right, thanks for being on. Talk into it.
Okay.
All right. I am back, and we're still at the Cherry Capital Con, and I am now joined by two very special guests, my kids, Victoria and my son, Jackson. What's up, guys?
Nothing really.
Nothing really?
I'm hungry. Stop doing that, Victoria.
Are you guys having fun? You guys enjoying yourself so far?
Yes.
What's the best part of the show so far, you guys?
The best part?
The costumes.
The costumes? Pretty cool.
The costume contest.
The costume contest is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
What else? What else has been fun? Has it been fun? Was the drive up with Dad fun?
Yeah.
Was the pool fun yesterday?
Oh, yeah. That was really fun.
That was really fun? So, I'm sure everybody wants to know, who's your favorite podcaster?
My dad.
Dada.
Do you know any other podcasters?
No.
Not
really. No.
And what's it been like watching your dad here at the show?
Awesome.
Awesome?
Fun.
Fun. Good, good. And what are you guys looking forward to the most this weekend?
Pool.
The pool? You want to go swimming?
Going in the pool.
Going in the pool. Okay. Well, one last question. What would you tell people that were thinking about coming up to the Cherry Capital Con? What would you tell them? Would you tell them it was cool, it was fun, they should come?
Yes. Yes.
Anything else?
No, not really. No.
That's it? Go ahead.
That the drive up here is really nice.
All right. Well, thank you guys for joining me on the podcast.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, don't try to change the subject again. Hide and seek with yourself. It ain't a game you can win. If you're gonna be dumb, boy, you got to be tough. If we changed up places, you roll like a dime. Yeah, you hurt. Yeah, you hurt. Yeah, you know it ain't right, but
ain't going, I ain't going to front you this time. Oh no, because you turned on me for the devil, you know. You turned on me for the devil, you
and,
know.
And I'm back, and I am now joined by Tony Moore, superstar artist, co-creator of The Walking Dead, and my friend Tony Moore, great guy, one of the good dudes in comics. Not that there are any really bad dudes, but you know, one of the extra special good dudes. How you doing, Tony?
I'm doing good, man. Am I still on?
I don't think this mic's. My kids turned it off. There you go.
There we go.
Now you're on.
I'm doing great, man. It's good to be here.
Yeah, it's is this your first time to this show, to Cherry Capital?
It is. Yeah.
Mine too. And how's your con experience so far here?
It's been really awesome. Like I like smaller shows because you get, you know, FaceTime with everybody. You get to talk to them, and it's not quite so hectic. And you know, for me, at bigger shows, I spend the whole time face down in commissions. Right. Like, I don't get to interact really. And
I was just talking. I was just talking with somebody about that. And I was like, yeah, I've been. I mean, there's been times at shows. I've been to shows with you, and I don't even get to see you. You know what I mean? Like, we'll say hi, you know, but you're so damn busy, and then afterwards, it's like, you know, you got 100 people looking to, you know, get things from me, whether it's editors or friends or whatever, you know. So,
I mean, plus, you know, here at this thing, you know, it's casual, you know, throughout, and then after the show, like, I'm not so just absolutely worn out that I can, you know, I can actually interact after the show too, which kind of, you know, feels like the good old days.
Yeah, right.
It's been a long time since I even saw the outside of my hotel room after the show, so it's usually
the price of success.
Yeah, I'm at the show drawing all day, and then I go back to the hotel room and draw till I want to die, and then wake up and do it all over again. Yeah, so this is the first time I've had, like, you know, fun time.
A little fun.
At all.
Yeah, that's good. You gotta do that too, man. You can't, you know. You just burn out otherwise, but
I'll be like Jack Nicholson in The Shining. You just snap.
All work and no play.
Exactly.
Yeah, this is, I've had a blast so far this weekend at this show. I mean, it's just cool and casual and busy. Actually busier than I thought it was going to be. I mean, there's quite a few people here for sure. But
yeah, it's a small crowd, but it seems like a fairly hungry crowd.
Yeah,
so it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's been great. So. What are you up to, man? What are you, you got anything you can talk about or no? Everything's secret? Everything is...
Yeah, at this point, you know, I'm kind of waiting on Marvel to pull the trigger on announcing my next thing.
Okay.
You know, I'm still doing some cover stuff on Venom and...
Right.
But at this point, I've kind of, you know, shifting gears over onto this next project that I'm super excited about and I'm so looking forward to and It's an absolute blast already, and I can't wait for people to
see it,
to know
about it.
Yeah, it's like eating me up inside. It's
right.
Like, yeah.
Well, you know, I am obviously a huge fan of The Walking Dead. I was long before the TV show came out, and long before you know, it was a gigantic success of a comic, and then a gigantic success of a TV show, and. You know, what's it been like for you, you know, to have that, you know, huge success now with the TV show just being immensely popular and, you know,
it's definitely been a wild ride.
Yeah.
Like it's, you know, it's strange to go from working on books that, you know, you were more or less certain no one is going to read.
Right.
To suddenly, like, you know, finding, you know, at a show, you've got middle-aged housewives who've never touched a comic in their lives coming up with a stack of them.
No kidding.
And they're like, I love it. I love these books. I never even knew. Yeah. It's bizarre. And, like, the to see, like, how far it's spread, you know, like, like one weird anecdote. I was in Kansas City not too long ago visiting Dennis Hopeless and his wife, and we all went out to dinner, and we were sitting at the restaurant, and at the table next to us, there was, like, a guy who looked like maybe like a mechanic or something with his brother and some of his family, and they were talking about The Walking Dead. And it was so surreal. Right? Yeah, yeah.
That's crazy. That's awesome. I mean, I'm so happy for you. You know, for you. Yeah, just like I said, I've known you for hell a long time now. And
you're old man.
Yeah. Oh, shit. And you were well. We were talking about this last night. Like Wizard World, whatever the hell year it was. I don't remember even what year it was, but
1894.
Yeah, something like that. That was pre around comics. That were, yeah. When we met, I think for the first time, and
yeah, it was
in a bathroom, in a darkened bathroom.
It was the summer before Fear Agent launched. Like, we didn't even have right. Fear Agent out.
Yeah. You guys were talking. That's right. We talked
like
about
we were,
that.
We
yeah.
were just putting it together.
That's crazy. But, yeah, now to see, you know, your name on a fucking television screen every week, because I watch it religiously.
It's bizarre.
it is nuts. But, I guess, well, I mean, you know, I know, you know, we can only talk so much about that, but... for you, you know, having a property like that, and you have, for the most part, done, you know, creator-owned stuff, and I mean, I would say, right, the majority of your work has been
you know,
creator-owned.
I'd say, like projects-wise, it's about half and half.
Yeah.
But you know, I've spent more time
doing the
on the creator-owned stuff than the others.
Do you enjoy that more? Is that something you just feel like you naturally kind of fall into more, your style fits better, or is it just the way things have gone? I mean,
well, I don't know. I mean, there's a certain amount, like, I like superhero stuff,
mm-hmm.
but it's not like the only thing I want to be into, you know?
Right.
I much prefer genre stuff,
right.
You know, in my personal reading. And you know, it's what gets me excited to work, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I've been working at Marvel, and it's technically superheroes. But
right.
If you really look at it, you know, like Ghost Rider is a monster.
Sure.
Hulk, or, Venom is a monster.
Yeah, yeah.
Punisher was a psychopath, and we turned him into a monster.
Right.
You know, so I still get to kind of play in my wheelhouse,
right.
You know, and still be in the big sandbox at the same
yeah,
time,
yeah.
You know. You know, I like doing that stuff, and it's fun to play with other people's toys.
Sure.
But at the same time, like, I don't think anything is ever as creatively fulfilling as you know, building something brand new from scratch,
mm-hmm.
and you know, making it happen. And it's, you know, as soon as I get a chance, I'm going back to that.
Going back to doing something.
You know, I'll probably always, you know, I want to always foster a relationship with Marvel. The guys over there have been really good to me. And,
sure, yeah.
You know, and they ask me to do fun things that I really enjoy. So, I, you know, I like that.
Well, it's a great position for you to be in now that you know, and over this weekend I've talked with different guys, and the same sort of thing comes up with how the industry has changed so much, you know, where it used to be, you know, you were doing indie work to try and get mainstream work. And now things have sort of changed where now you do mainstream work, guys do mainstream work to build their name up, to do their own things that they can own. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and it's
yeah.
like, and you came more from the old school where, you know, you were doing all the indie stuff and you know, self-publishing stuff and that. And now you're in a great position where your name is, you know, your brand, the Tony Moore brand,
yeah.
gives you the license to do, you know, like you said, the fun stuff in the sandbox or your own thing. So
I mean, here's hoping. That's the goal. You know, I think a lot of common fan perception is that the big two, like Marvel or DC, is where you graduate to.
Right.
You know, but if you look over the whole game, you know, forever, everybody, you know, you start with the indie stuff to get your mm-hmm. foot in the door and then, you know, work out the kinks and learn how to do it.
Right.
You know, and that's usually like, you know, like a band's first cut, you know, when it's raw.
Sure,
and,
sure,
you know,
sure.
You get that power
little,
that you...
A little dirty and little...
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah. yeah. And...
Which I always seem to go back to that stuff,
right,
you know?
Yeah. And then you go to the studio and you clean it up. And,
right.
And then you try to get back to that, you know, that heart.
The roots
you know,
of it,
exactly,
yeah.
Exactly, you know, so... You know, yeah, that's how you get guys like, you know, Frank Miller working his way up through the hierarchy and then mm-hmm. coming back to Sin City and you know, dropping, you know,
right.
the science again. And I think we all want that, you know, we all want to be able to, we like to play on the big stage where people see us, and we try to go out and wave our arms around enough that people pay attention, and then we run off and hope that they follow us. You know?
And it's nice. Yeah. And the nice thing is that there's more opportunities now that with digital and with stuff like Kickstarter and that kind of thing, where there's more opportunities to be able to do that. You know, it used to be, and you went through it, with stuff like Fear Asian, where it's like, you'd put your heart and soul into something and work your ass off for it, and there's just only so much audience you could reach through comic stores because, comic shop buyers just aren't buying it, and you had to work twice as hard as the next guy and hope to, break even or hope to, now it seems like there's a little better opportunity to maybe, not have to take that much of a risk or not have to kill yourself working a full-time job.
The worry with any indie stuff is how do you keep the lights on while you're doing it,
right?
It's kind of a scary gamble to take a lot of times, that's why artists graduate up from corporate
a regular regular paycheck.
Exactly.
Health insurance.
It's all right.
Exactly.
I think when I was doing, stuff 7-8 years ago, all I had to worry about was I had like $400 in rent and a dog.
Right.
And that was it. I could live on nothing. Now I got a mortgage and car and a family. I can't do that shit.
Right. Why you're back in the hotel every night drawing after conventions.
Yeah, I mean if I was I would fully expect my wife to murder me if I did that. It's trying to work to the point where you feel like you got the where it's less of a scaring bet to walk away from that steadiness, because everybody wants the sure bet.
Sure. Oh, wow. It's just such a, it's such a different, changing kind of world with it, seeing comics go through this, unsure period of what, I think right now you're looking at, especially with digital and what effect that's having. And
I think it's really yet to be tapped fully and developed, but I think it's going to, in the very near future, is going to really change the whole game. Web comics were one thing, but with an increasing amount of readership from mainstream comics moving over to reading stuff on an iPad, for a long time people didn't want to read comics on a computer because you want to be able to pick it up and take it with you, wherever, the bathroom or whatever.
Exactly.
Now you got an iPad and
essentially do the same thing.
Yeah, especially the newer ones with really high resolution screens and stuff like that. Like it's quickly developing to the point where the platform, the medium
is
ready, there.
Yeah.
And now it's going to get to the point. It's got to get to the point, I think, where creators are, it's not just shoehorning like a book form onto this new format, but when they're developing content for the new medium, that's when you'll see like
specifically
a whole new fresh, because there's a lot of stuff that digital can do that is not possible on paper, and not just like sound and animation, but like pure comics, where it's still like in the, all the temporal aspects of how you consume the story are still in the reader's hands, that you just can't do on paper. And I think once that stuff starts to get kind of developed and implemented.
And we've seen a little bit of that, people are...
Like Norton and Seeley's thing, where you get like all the special features and you can
Which is great. You look at the pencil work or you look at, they have commentary with it and that kind of stuff. The inked work, which is really cool.
There's so much that you have to be, really tapped into. I think between that and then, the Kickstarter stuff where people don't have to wait for a publisher to say, no, we
this
don't
is
like
good
it.
Enough.
Yeah. We'll allow you to publish your book and then cancel it because it didn't sell enough.
You sell it right. You're selling it, direct to the consumer that wants it. Here's what it's going to be. This is how,
Yeah, it's like DIY, it's absolute strongest. I think we're going to see big changes on a lot of this stuff. It's going to be, I like to think it'll be a real revival of the indie comics,
Well, and that's the that's the thing too is you see so much of the talented indie guys, yourself included, going then to work for Marvel and DC, and like we said, hey, God bless them. They got to make a living. They got to pay for, you know what I mean? And that's great, but at the same time, it really pulls all those resources out of the indie comics, world,
sure.
and you don't get necessarily the great stuff, that could be there because, they're busy working on, Spider-Man or whatever,
Sure.
And nothing wrong with that necessarily, but...
Yeah. Hopefully new blood's coming in all the time. I mean,
True.
I'm no spring chicken anymore. So, I was just thinking, I used to go out and party with all my friends at these cons, and then and now I'm just like the sad old man that goes back, trudges back to his room, and I'm thinking, who are the young bucks that are out there being drunk assholes like we used to be?
Right.
What's that scene now? I don't know.
I think it's still kind of us, though. I don't know.
It might be. Maybe it's just sadder than I thought.
I don't know. Last night, at least, I was.
Yeah.
I just can't do it two nights in a row anymore.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Tonight will be dinner and, some wine, maybe.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. But, I think, hopefully new blood's coming in. It's a changing paradigm, too, you're kind of set with a certain amount of understanding based on what you know and what you see developing. But, younger crowd that's coming in, they might not be so set in their ways.
Right.
Digital comics and, stuff like that, it's, really simple to see that, where a lot of collectors like my age and older, they're still really attached to the physical
paper,
artifact,
right.
The tactile feel of the
sure.
book and all that stuff. But a lot of new readers don't
have that.
They don't
care
about it.
They don't care. It doesn't matter.
It's just like kind of how I was when MP3s really started coming out when I was, in college.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't give a shit about having a LP.
I like
having the art and the liner notes and stuff when I, if I can. And if I really like something, I'll go hunt it down or whatever. But,
It was an easy transition for you.
I was a lot happier to have the content versus the artifact cluttering up my space, I think digital comics, a lot of people are starting to find that out. I was just talking to Stegman about how, he's almost switched completely over to reading on the iPad mm-hmm. because he can't fathom the idea of having stacks of books cluttering up his shit all the time now. So I think as a new breed of creators come in and like that's their paradigm, mm-hmm. It's a completely different kind of thing, and it's happening quicker and quicker all the time. Technology is advancing so quickly that every 5 years is a whole other game.
The only thing I see right now that I think is still lagging really badly is that, and I understand to a certain degree, but the publishers still seem to they're holding on to the direct market so tightly, and I get it. I mean, you can't. Just, hey, screw you guys, goodbye, we're going all digital. But
right.
at the same time, I mean, I had a perfect example, the Avengers movie comes out.
Uh-huh.
And a huge, obviously, we all a gigantic hit, that kind of thing. I went to it with a guy I work with, not a comic book reader, but, certainly kind of has some geeky interest, video games and different things, inclined towards it. We go to see the Avengers, absolutely loves it. The next day, he's asking me, questions about, hey, he's got an iPad. He's like, is there any comics like Avengers like that take from that story? Are those, and I'm like, yeah, not really. There's nothing, And he's like, well, can I just like Netflix where I just pay a monthly fee and read whatever I want? I'm like, doesn't really exist.
Seems like that'd be a great idea.
Yeah, right? and he keeps asking me all these questions, basically going, hey, I'd like to read some comic books now because I loved this movie.
Right.
And I'd like to read them on my iPad because I'm not going into a store to buy paper comic books
right.
when I. And it's just not there yet.
Yeah.
It's just not ready for them yet. And
for an industry of creatives and a free thinking minds, we are surprisingly not liberal when it comes to change involving
right.
how our shit is done. It's sad, really. I mean, we could use the wheel is being reinvented in front of us, whether we like it or not, or whether they like it. I love it. I think it's great. It's. And you get the higher ups that are running companies, and they, change is expensive. They
absolutely
they look at
sure,
that and
sure.
they're like, oh, how are we going to monetize this stuff? You just don't see the logistics of it. And then, you know, piracy is like, well, we still want it. And then they step up and
you're not
going
to give it to us. It's, you know, there it is.
You know, and then that's how you got MP3s and all that stuff. And that's how you get CBR files on you know. You know, the industry was too myopic to realize that this shit was on its way, whether they wanted it to or not.
Absolutely. And it already happened. You know what I mean? We saw it in music. Why didn't you guys learn from that at all? That's what I don't get. It's like, it seems like you're trying to ignore it, you know?
Yeah,
it's like,
I mean, publishing, clearly, paper publishing is anachronistic at best a lot of times. Sure. You know, it's, I mean, really slow to adapt to change, you know, which is so weird for an industry that thrives on new ideas to just, like,
holding on, and I guess I get it, but it's just, you know, you see it in other industries too, but like I said, it's not like when it happened to music, of course they're going to cling on, because it's like, and they're going to hold on as hard as they can, as tightly as they can, but it's, you know, you've already seen this happen to a much bigger industry.
Yeah, it happened to music. It happened to movies.
Yeah, you're not stronger than those. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's not, so that's the crazy thing to me, of like, you don't have anybody out there going, okay, we need to be on the forefront of this. We need to, you know what I mean? Or at least we need to, you know, accept the fact that it's going to happen. How do we best transition to it?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm hoping that, like, the new blood who comes in with, you know, a better understanding of, like, when it's their paradigm, because it's what they've known, you know, like, they'll be able to hopefully develop some of these, you know, the nuances of the new media and, you know, really bring it into being its own thing, because sure as shit ain't going to happen from the top down.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, here's hoping. I mean, I think it will. You know, like I said,
I think it's inevitable. It's just a matter,
between that and Kickstarter, people trying to take shit back into their own hands.
Yeah.
You know,
I love seeing the stuff on Kickstarter. It's just like,
oh, yeah, it's so great.
They ask
right?
for $6,000, they get 60. It's like,
what? So ridiculous. Yeah. I saw a guy who was asking for just a few thousand bucks, and he made $1,000,000 for a coloring book. I was Jesus Christ.
It's kind of insane, I mean, but it is. It's one of those things that's like, go right to the audience.
And you know, these exact same products, you know, if they took them to a publisher, they go,
not going to, we can't see that.
I mean, like Ray Fox, his book, One Heart, I think.
It was
an Eisner nominee.
Okay.
And he told me he you know, he shopped it around to publishers, and they were like, no. And he's like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to do this.
Do it.
He stepped up and he took the chance, and he put it together. And then, you know, I think it was out through Oni, and they grabbed it and put it together, and it, you know, is up for an Eisner now. So,
well, I think what the another shift that you see now is that, you know, it was always, let's produce something that is homogenous enough to appeal to a wide enough audience so that we can get a small percentage of a wide enough audience, we're successful.
Yeah.
As opposed to, no, let's target the audience specific for this product and get all of them. You know what I mean?
Right.
They may, instead of 500,000, maybe there's only 5,000, but let's get all 5,000 of them and not waste our efforts trying to get a bunch of people that have no interest in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's
it's like everybody wants to make the vanilla ice cream that's palatable to everybody,
right,
but maybe isn't really that many people's favorite. You know?
But
it's like, I liked it.
It's okay.
It's okay. Yeah, it's good. Versus people who are like, holy shit, I cannot live without this fucking thing, you know?
And that was, you know, you always saw that, I mean, you always saw that in comics of like, oh, you know, the rare, amazing thing, you know, that would pop up. But, you know, now I think there's more opportunity for those rare, you know, those things to have more life.
Taking
more
it right
chance.
To the source.
Yeah,
you know?
Great stuff. Well, thanks, man. I really appreciate you jumping on. It's great to see you again. And
hopefully it won't be so long between now and next time.
Yeah, no kidding. Absolutely. Well, hopefully, you know, we get our act together and actually record some more episodes, that kind of stuff. But, no, I appreciate it, man, and best of luck to you on everything. And
you too, man.
Continued success, my friend.
Well, thanks. Yeah, hopefully here in the very near future we'll have a reason to
talk again.
Bring it back up.
Sounds good.
Cool.
You let me know.
All right, bud.
All right, Tom.
Thanks.
I'm bringing sexy back.
Yeah.
The motherfuckers don't know how to act.
Yeah.
Go let me make up for the things you lack.
Yeah.
Cause you're burning up, I gotta get it fast.
Yeah.
Listen.
Dirty babe.
Yeah. Back on. All right, I am back on the floor. It's day two of the Cherry Capital Con, and I am joined by a very special guest, a man who I personally love and have loved in a deep and passionate way, Mr. Ryan Stegman. Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you for having me on the show, Mr. Vegas.
What's going on, man? It's have you actually been on Around Comics before or not? I mean, I've known you for years now, and we always talk, but
I think the only time that I've been on was probably when I wrote into the show early on. A couple times, yeah.
Really?
I did. I remember I wrote in and basically tried to sneak in a promotion of my my book, and then Tom made fun of me on air. He had no idea who I was at the time. And then the other time was you guys did the, I think I suggested the episode where Scotty and Mike Norton were giving art tips or something, and
okay,
and I asked a few questions.
Wow! So you were a fan of ours before?
Super fan,
super
number one fan.
Awesome! I like to hear that. And now you are you're like a big deal. You're drawing like one of the biggest books in
history
in the history of comic books. Maybe one of the biggest books in the history of the printed page.
Yeah, well, I mean, and it's going to get bigger now that I'm on it.
And it's going to get huge again.
Yeah.
It's been kind of crap for years since,
Hickman's been struggling along. Yeah. Nobody likes it.
And you're doing the Fantastic Four. How cool is that for you to take over,
It's
awesome
it's like daunting because when you do these things, you don't really think about it. You know, when you get the offer, I was excited.
Sure.
But then, I'm looking at my shelf, and I've got, like, my Essential Fantastic Four, Jack Kirby, and I'm just thinking, like, really, like, I'm on the same series as this guy? This is insane. You know what I mean?
The same characters.
I mean, he created this whole thing, and now I'm going to, there's been legendary runs on in the past, like the John Byrne stuff and everything, and, Walt Simonson's drawn the Fantastic Four for a while, and it's crazy.
Did Davis do Fantastic Four, Alan Davis?
He was doing covers with Hickman. I don't know if he did any.
I'm trying to remember if he did or not. I want to say he did, but I can't remember. Paul Pelletier?
Yeah.
Pelletier? I liked his run. He's kind of John Byrne-ish, but
I thought you just called him a jerk.
He's kind of a jerk. No, I think he's a decent guy. I've never met him. I don't know. Well, that's cool, though. I mean, well, we talked about this. We had a panel last night, you and I and Angel Medina. Well, it was your panel, and I moderated it, but talking about how just the not overnight success for you, because obviously you had been working in comics for a while, but just to go from relative obscurity on a, and I don't mean that in a disparaging way,
it makes sense,
To working for Marvel and on big books like that, it's had to be just a blast for you to go through that experience. And what has changed for you at coming to a con like this and now setting up?
Conventions have become a lot more work.
Yeah,
because it's a lot of I do a lot of sketches. I don't have a lot of product. I have two prints, so that's the only other thing I can sell besides original art, but original art doesn't move that much at shows.
Sure. Cough.
Yeah. But the sketches that I do now, I can't even get to all the people that want me to do them.
Hell, I couldn't even get you on the damn show yesterday. I'm sitting there trying to get you on for hours, and you're doing sketches. So,
well, I spent quite a bit of time on that Moon Knight.
Moon Knight, it was pretty cool. That was a good Moon Knight.
But yeah, no, so they become, in doing sketches is fun, but it's also a little stressful because you want to get to as many people as possible. But then you also want to make each one individually as good as possible. So it's hard to juggle the time and everything. But, it's a good problem to have. And conventions are, you know, I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Right. Is this your first year here?
No, this is my third year.
Third year here?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, because you're from Michigan.
Yeah, they
you're
probably don't want me back anymore.
But they've had enough. You're coming one way or another.
Yeah, because I just love Traverse City, and, you know, now I know all these guys, and it's a nice, intimate show.
You really know some of the volunteers.
Yeah, well, wow. I got to know them of you.
Yeah. You've been sort of manhandling them.
Shout out to Colin, who seems to reluctantly enjoy my cuddling.
Yeah, there's a weird sort of creepiness to it, but he smiles and plays along, and then you see a fear in his eyes.
Yeah, there's like part of me that is disturbed that he goes along with it for as long as he does, because I try to push it to the limit, because I want him to say, like, hey, stop.
Enough. But he never does.
Yeah, he just, like, yesterday I started dancing with him, and he started swaying gently, and I was like, what the hell?
Now that's something, when you can try to creep someone out, and you end up kind of being creeped out by it, that's impressive.
Yeah.
But really, well, you know, what I want to know, and I think what everyone here wants to know on the podcast, what they're really interested in knowing is, when are you going to give up this pipe dream of being a comic artist and just play blackjack full time, move to Vegas with your wife? Yeah.
Well, like I was telling you, I would do that, but I don't want my son to grow up spoiled and rich. I'd rather him have a starving artist as a dad. Because if I went and played blackjack, I would just make money all the time.
Yeah, just constantly.
I witnessed it.
You do enjoy that. That's probably the most fun of this weekend, sitting down at the blackjack table.
Yeah, it's great, especially when we have a whole bunch of people that we know.
Yeah.
I mean, like Scotty and Jason Howard and Ryan Otley were here last year, and we just would sit, you know,
for hours and hours playing.
Perch at a blackjack table and, you know, joke with the dealers all night. But
except for the one we had last night, which was...
Oh, my God. That was crazy, right?
It was a little weird.
Did you notice it?
Yeah, it was. I think this is kind of going off on a weird tangent, but I think it was Saturday night. It's Memorial Day weekend, and they probably bring in like their best dealers, and you know, it's like the. But she was
a nice queen.
She was not friendly at all. Like you and I, you know, giving her money and trying to, and we were goddamn charming as all hell.
Yeah.
Funny and charming. I don't, you know, care what anyone says, especially Tony Moore. And and she just nothing. There was nothing there.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I've been here for 3 years. We do it every night.
Yeah.
And I've never had that kind of experience where I felt like Starbucks. Terrible. I felt like it was like we were playing blackjack with my elementary school principal. You notice how she kept telling people, like, did you see when that one guy touched his cards after she had finished the hand? And she said, it doesn't take me that long to clear them off. Please don't touch the cards.
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
I saw the one where, like, the girl, this, like, 18-year-old girl sits down and she's, like, holding a $20 bill out in her hand.
Yeah.
And the dealers can't take the money out of your hand. You have to put it on the table. But, you know, she doesn't.
She just stared at her.
She staring at her. And then finally she's like, I can't take the money out of your hand. And the girl's like, oh, sorry. You know, she obviously didn't know, you know.
Yeah. I wanted to cry a little bit.
Yeah, well, it was fun anyway.
Yeah.
But this is an awesome show. This has been, you know, this is my first time up here, and, you know, these guys are just so awesome and cool, and to invite, you know, me up here, let alone, you know just, you know, I was kind
of...
Yeah, some schlub with a podcast. Barely.
Yeah.
Barely with a podcast. But, you know, they seem to treat you guys just awesome
and crazy.
Take care of you.
Yeah. I mean, I probably could come up here and not spend a single cent, because they give me booze and food and, you know, but... I try to kick in some money.
Kick in a few bucks.
Yeah.
Cover some costs, maybe.
Yeah, but, you know.
No, it's really fun. And
like that first night, that was crazy. They had a full spread of food and free booze.
Full refrigerator full of beer and a keg and everything else. Yeah, it was awesome. So if you're looking for a cool show, and Traverse City is really, I haven't had that much time. We're staying a few extra days, but I haven't had much time to get down to Traverse City itself. But
well, I think the thing to do would be, if you have a family, to plan a vacation up here, you know, for like a week, maybe, and then have it overlap with your...
with the con.
Yeah, because it's a really nice resort town, you know, like, I'm coming back in a month.
Oh, are
just
you?
To, yeah, just to come out with my family and, you know, swim and...
Gamble.
Yeah. We'll see if I can get them into a casino.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Aaron, it'll be.
No, I can get Aaron.
Yeah,
I can't get Aaron out of the casino.
Yeah, I don't think you're gonna have to twist her arm.
But my sisters, my mom and dad, and everything, they won't want to do that. But
so what do we talked about? Fantastic Four. We talked about how you're superstar, awesome blackjack player.
Right.
What else do we got? Anything else going on in Ryan Stegman's? I know you're officially changing your signature based on my suggestion of a Stegosaurus.
Yeah, we were talking about that. You had some other idea that you had given Scotty like just the day before, and he was like, "Man, Brian is on a roll."
I did.
Yeah, you gave. I can't remember what it was. It was about something that he could sell.
Oh,
you
know? It was a book idea. I thought he could do.
And then you gave me the Stegosaurus signature idea.
I'm fucking gold, man. Just dropping nuggets of gold for
everybody.
Exactly.
You've made us all rich.
I know. Because
that signature put me over the top.
I'm just trying to help, man. Any way I can, I'm trying to support you guys and make your lives better. That's my job. I feel that that's my job, make your lives better. And
yeah, you're like a magical little
elf.
Pixie.
A little comic book pixie, and I just spread, fairy dust wherever I go.
Yeah, every time I've sat down at a blackjack table with you, I've also won. So.
There you go. See? I'm a good luck charm, and I try, man. I do my best.
You're the opposite of the cooler. I'm normally the cooler at
conventions. Are you?
Oh, yeah. I tell Aaron, I always tell Aaron, I'm like, I'm not going to stand anywhere near you when you're playing. Because blackjack, I can handle, but she goes and plays roulette.
Oh, God.
And there's no rhyme or reason to that stuff.
You're
and
just
I'm
throwing money up.
I get so negative about it. Like, in my head, I'm just like, what are you doing? This is ridiculous. And then, of course, like, I feel like my
negative energy.
Just everybody starts losing. They're like, why won't this guy leave? Her mom, we went to Vegas, and her mom was there, and she said, oh, that's ridiculous. You know, you can stand by us. And then after about 5 minutes of me standing there, they were up a bunch of money. After about 5 minutes of me coming down and standing next to him, she was like, all right, maybe you can just go.
Maybe you go get a drink, Ryan. Well, I didn't. I'm still up. The first night we played, I made $100. And then last night I was completely even. We played for a couple hours or whatever, and I broke even. So I'm pleased as punch, man. So I don't think you're the cooler.
I went with to Vegas with Otley and Jason Howard, and we did a signing, and we were playing blackjack. And I'm not kidding. I didn't go up at all. Like, not even for a minute. You know, like,
you did not win a hand.
I didn't go. Well, no, I mean, like, I would sit down with $100, and it would quickly go down to 80, and then maybe I could go back up to 85.
Oh, right.
But it would just
stay
dwindle.
That's what last night I was just like, at $75. I cashed in $100. And, like, every time I would go look at how much I had, it would be, like, $75. And no matter, I would go up a little bit, down, and then I ended up even. So I was just like, yeah, it was weird, but, it was fun.
We bought drinks all night.
We did
for free.
What more can you ask for?
Tried to get a smile out of the ice queen. The corner of her lip twitched at one point, which I thought was a huge victory for us.
And every time she'd take your money and just... She didn't actually say it, but it did feel like she was just saying stupid and raking your money in.
Yeah. Exactly. Remember that one hand where...
You didn't even...
She made me feel so stupid for asking if I should hit that then I just, like, confidently kept hitting until I busted.
Yeah, you just kept going and going, and I'm like, what is he doing? And then, like, she just took your money and...
I was trying to be like, oh, no, I get it.
I know where I'm at.
Yeah.
Hey, come on. I don't need your help, lady. I would look at her and she... Yeah, because I used to play a lot of blackjack and kind of knew all the, when to hit, when to stay, when to... And I know for the most part, but when something weird comes up, or like when to split, I don't remember what not to split, what to split. And so, you look at her. Usually you look at a dealer and they'll kind of, give you an idea of what they think you should do. And she would do it, but it was like reluctantly and after she would just stare into your soul for a few seconds.
She would give you that look like you're stupid. And then some of the time she wouldn't even, she wouldn't say anything. She would just do like a hand gesture.
Yeah. She would either, and you, I wasn't sure what the gesture meant. Should I fold? Wait, should I?
Yeah.
Do I double down? What do I?
Yeah. So I'd just look at everybody else at the table and see if they had an answer for me.
Ah, yeah. Oh, we're going on the road with that. We're just going to go from casino to casino, man. Forget
entertaining.
It. Screw this comic book stuff. Just go and make money. Just rake it in. All right, Rye Guy. Well, man, it's...
No, Rye.
That's right. Kara wanted me to call you Rye. happy for you. You know, really happy for you and all your success.
Me too.
Dude. You're
Me
a good
too.
Guy. I'm glad I got to hang out with you this weekend.
Yeah, it was fun.
Hopefully, they will invite us both back.
I'm coming whether they invite me.
Yeah, one way or another. Yeah. You just show up.
I'll crash it just, if I have
You'll
to.
Be walking around with a sign on. All right, man. Well, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks
once
for
again.
Having me.
And write in again, you know. We can use some suggestions still. And
I'm going to try do the backhanded promotion again.
Yeah, Fantastic Four. Just yeah. Hey, by the way, Ryan Stegman.
Love the show, guys.
First time.
By the way, I draw Fantastic Four. Coming out in August.
We'd probably plug it. We'd probably let that slide for you, buddy. All right, man. Thanks again.
All right. Thanks.
And that's it. That was the Cherry Capital Con, at least me at it. unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to talk to a couple of people that were there, some of the guests. Steve Dillon was there, and I did not have a chance to talk to him. He was very busy all weekend signing stuff and doing sketches, and I really didn't want to try and pull him away from that in order to talk to me. So you know, didn't get a chance to have him on the show, but I did, luckily for me and a few people that were in the audience, I did get a chance to moderate a panel with him and Daniel Way talking about collaboration, and I believe that will be that was videotaped, and I believe that will be on the Cherry Capital Con website at some point, and I'll try and let you guys know when that pops up or if that pops up, so you can hear the three of us talk, mostly them, me just sort of asking questions and making sure that the thing didn't run off the rails. But Steve Dillon was an incredibly nice dude. I was absolutely terrified to talk to him. I'm a huge fan of his work. I did bring up, I have a Preacher page that I bought a few years back. A very filthy, horrible page from Preacher issue number 59. I had purchased it. God, I can't talk today. I purchased it a while back, and I was always hoping to get him to sign it, but he doesn't do very many shows. So I was very fortunate that he was at this show, and he was happy to sign it for me, and I have that now, and I will always cherish it. But I was also very intimidated talking to him just because he's one of those guys that I really respect his work, and it's always sort of fearful as a fan to come up to somebody that you really respect and you're afraid that they're either going to be a jerk or they're not going to like you or think you're an idiot or you're going to say something stupid or all of the above. And luckily, none of that was the case. It couldn't be further from the truth. The fact of the matter is he's a super sweet guy and incredibly gracious and more than happy to talk to you about, you know, his work or whatever. And if you do ever get the chance to talk to him, please do so. He's a great guy. Also there at the show was Angel Medina from Spawn fame. Another super nice dude, and had a great time talking with him both at a panel that I moderated, which also should be up at some point. And after the show, having a few drinks and talking, and just a really bright, funny guy with a ton of stories and experience, and you know, those Image days and working with Todd McFarlane, and just he's an awesome artist, but a really nice guy too. So unfortunately, I didn't get him on the show. Maybe sometime in the future. He was super nice. So those two guys didn't get on, and wish I could have for you, but didn't have the opportunity. Maybe sometime in the future. But I think, you know, overall, I think the guys that we did have on, you know, Tony Moore and Ryan Stegman and Daniel Way were very good guests, and you know, obviously bright, intelligent comic creators and doing all sorts of different types of books, and just so cool to talk to them for a few minutes at the show. And I think the one thing you could pick up on from all of them was that their experience at the show was very positive. They all of them had great things to say about the Cherry Capital Con, and I would have to join in with that because I had just the best time up there. And, you know, they treated me so well. And, you know, obviously I'm going to be a little biased with this because they, you know, they invited me up and put me up and just treated me like a guest, you know, like any of their other, you know, top of the line guests, which I certainly do not deserve. But I appreciated it nonetheless. And it was great. I mean, it was a great little show. And the one thing, not the one thing, but one of the things about them, the guys, Mike and Dan and Rob and all the guys, Doug, that put on that show. And there was a bunch of volunteers that were just awesome, always there to help and happy to you know, do whatever to make sure you had a better show. And just, you know, absolutely fantastic group of people that put on a really wonderful show. And they do it for no other reason other than the fact that they love comic books and they want to have that amazing, you know, shared experience with other comic book fans in that area. And this is their fourth year, and they're just trying to grow it as much as possible and let people know about it. And that's, you know, one of the reasons they invited me up, because, you know, I do this podcast and reach a lot of people. And hopefully, you know, if people hear positive things about a small show like that, they'll be more inclined to go to it. And I can't tell you enough that if you have the opportunity, if you're close by at all, I mean, I drove 6.5 hours to get there, and I'll do it again in a heartbeat to go up and visit that show and hang out with those guys and visit the city. I mean, the city of Traverse City is alone is absolutely fantastic and worth the ride. So, I mean, go up there and spend a few extra days with your family and enjoy Traverse City. We went to the Big Sleeping Bear National Park, which is absolutely gorgeous. It's dunes and a beach, and downtown Traverse City is this cool little town. It reminded me sort of like Minneapolis or Seattle, where it's a small city, but very cool and you know, very sort of creative centric. You know, you can tell that there's people there that are into art, and they have a great film festival and galleries and cool little brew pubs, and they're very much about, like, you know, the area businesses, you know, sticking together, and it was just an absolute fantastic fun time for me, and you know, I was lucky enough to bring my wife and kids up there, and we all just had a great time. And And I'll do it again in a heartbeat. If they're nice enough to invite me up again, I'll be there, no questions asked. And maybe even if they don't invite me, I might just show up anyway and grab a table and, they, you know, just pretend like I'm a guest. But, if you're around at all in that area, or if those guys invite you, if you're a creator that listens to the show, you know, and you're looking for a smaller, cool show to go to where you're treated extremely well, and, you know, there's a nice city there to hang out and go to dinner with and hang out with other creators that are there in a real relaxed setting and talk to fans and, you know, just enjoy yourself. I can't recommend that show enough. Go, if they invite you or if you're interested, give them a call. You know, check out their website, cherrycapitalcon.com. And talk to those guys and see about, you know, doing that show, because it's definitely worth the effort, and they will treat you really well, and it's awesome. So that's really it. That's all I can say. Like I said, if there's the video from the moderated paddles that I did, if that goes up, I will let you guys know. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I also hope to get more episodes out soon. I'm not sure exactly what's going to happen, but I'm going to try and get some more stuff out for you guys, and we'll go from there. And I really appreciate everybody listening and sticking around with Around Comics, and you know, hopefully in the future we'll have some more stuff for you. Thanks again.